7:23.
Welcome to the Garden America Show, the country's most listened to gardening program. This is your chance to join us as we talk about gardening, horticulture, landscaping, in fact, anything that has to do with the world of gardening. The phone lines are open right now at 1-855-424-9825. That's 1-855-424-9825 for your questions and comments. Or John at GardenAmerica.com. And if you're watching us on Facebook Live, you can also post your questions and comments right there on our page during the broadcast. Now, here's Brian Main, John Bagnasco, and Tiger Palafox on the Garden America Radio and Media Network.
It is hour number two. It is 6 minutes after, minus Tiger, who's helping Raquel out to the car with all the various succulents and stuff. And those of you that were tuned in and watched hour one, I hope you did appreciate it and were entertained and learned something. She's a little different, but very good. I like her ideas, John, the things that she brought to the table.
You know, that's part of being successful is taking a subject that everyone likes and putting a little different bent on it.
A little different spin.
You know, like, I don't think I've seen anyone focus on miniature succulents.
Yeah,
or,
right?
Yeah. And I've always been fascinated in the gardening world with miniature plants or giant plants.
Like miniature roses, obviously, come to mind.
Right. Or so, like, both ends of the spectrum. Either, you know, giant, the biggest you can grow,
right,
or a little tiny.
Yeah, yeah. I liked her, the bracelet, the refrigerator
the
magnet.
The bracelet and the magnet were two great ideas.
Very good. And again, you're going to get maybe 3, 4, 5 months out of it, but once you start seeing the roots, you transplant it.
Right.
So, you know, the cycle continues.
I think Deborah Lee Baldwin last year, maybe it was last summer, she had some succulent arrangements that she had made, and she took sticks and glued a succulent on the end, on the top of each stick. And at the end of the show, she just kind of passed them out to people.
Right, right.
And I brought one home to my wife, and she stuck it in a plant for probably stayed there for like 3 months.
Stuck it in a plant or a pot?
In a plant.
Okay.
That was, you know, in a pot growing indoors. And she just kept it for 3 months. All it was a succulent glued to the top of a stick. And then after 3 months, I took it, planted outside, and, you know, now it's a nice plant growing outdoors.
You know, I still have, I don't know how many years ago this is, John, because sometimes a year seems like 10 years and vice versa. The last time we went to Altman's and Deborah Lee Baldwin was there, and she helped me put together a succulent arrangement, and I bought a couple of succulent baskets.
Oh, that was at Oasis, wasn't it?
Oasis, exactly.
Right.
That was a while back. We did a remote,
Oasis Water Fish and Plants in Escondido.
And I still have the baskets. I still have the arrangements. Now, succulents do change a little bit. I mean, and what you and Sharon gave me for our wedding gift with the clock.
With the radio.
The radio. So
right.
So that arrangement's now outside. It looks quite different. Things have grown. I've had to trim. But here it is. That was 2014. And like it was yesterday that you gave it to me. So, you know, succulents, just be careful on the water. When in doubt, don't water, I think.
You know, my wife, my lovely wife.
Shannon, though. We all love Shannon. You know.
She likes Kalanchoes, and you can usually get them in supermarkets, even Home Depot, places
yeah, you
like
get them
that.
Everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, and
cheer up, Tiger.
They're succulents with flowers, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So they're pretty, and they come in different colors, and they're singles and doubles, and she likes those, and they last indoors for, you know, maybe 6 weeks, a couple months, and then she doesn't take care. She's never watered them during the whole time, and maybe I'm being a little harsh there, but then we just kind of throw them outside. And she never sees them again, but I just kind of stick them into the landscape somewhere, the pot and everything. And as I've been cleaning up this winter, I found four of those, and two of them were in full bud and bloom,
right,
way bigger than when she bought them. And so I just planted those all in the ground together.
I have a confession, which you talking about that has led me to want to admit something.
Yeah.
About 3 weeks ago, you gave me some cuttings, wandering Jew cuttings.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I went home and I put them in a little vase with some HB101 till I could get out there and plant them. And then we had all this rain. I never got out the 2 weeks, but they all survived and looked exactly as you gave them to me 3 weeks later with the HB101.
Really?
I got them in a pot. I've rooted them.
Oh, they started to root.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's good.
But I was impressed by, well, first of all, I'm like, I got to get out there and do this. I you know, but it's raining. So I put the HB101 in the vase, and obviously it helped.
Now, that was the Blushing Bride
yes.
variety of
yes.
Wandering Jew, Tradescantia.
Mm-hmm.
And what's amazing about that is the hot pink color that it develops in the winter. Then in the summer, it turns plain green.
Yeah, yeah.
But this time
I'm looking
of year,
forward to it.
It almost looks like it's in bloom. It's
yeah.
it's so pretty.
It's very nice. And we're still, the hibiscus, we're going to wait and see what happens with all the cold
it's
weather
not
we've
been,
had.
Not been good hibiscus weather.
No. And again, like I said, started noticing some little growth, but then we had the freezing temperature. So we'll see. Hey, it's a process, right?
Yeah.
It's a process.
And it's fun.
It is fun. I think it's a blast.
I just got a whole bunch of seeds. So I went through our seed rack, and I'm going to go out with the kids this weekend. Some hollyhocks, some larkspur and delphinium, some, what else did I get? Some different salvias, just a bunch of, from England. It inspired me to create some kind of long border.
When you were there, that was we
yeah,
got the idea?
And it's not that it doesn't so much matter if it's the right season or the right place. You know, these seeds we're going to put out there, we're going to put them in these areas, and if they come up, they come up. And if they don't, no big deal. But I'm excited. And I found some fringed dianthus,
oh.
kind of like the dancing geisha
right.
seeds that were also part of this pack. And so I'm going to plant those ones, though, in small little starter pots so I can then eventually plant those.
Is there still a burpee seed catalog?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's interesting. And I figured there was. I was at a party last night, and that came up in conversation.
Well, doesn't it always?
Yeah. sarcastically, no, it doesn't. But but as you well know, but I thought, wow, this is kind of cool. You know, somebody talking about a younger person waiting for a burpee seed catalog, which used to be the highlight of your winter spring, right, John, in Michigan?
Well, the seed catalogs always were, and back in the 50s and 60s, burpee was the number one seed catalog.
Mm-hmm.
They always had the neat new stuff. You know?
Yeah, the neat,
they did.
Yeah, what's happening, you know? Yeah. Not quite like getting the new Sears catalog, but close.
Back we there. Did an eggplant from burpee and grafted it a couple, was it 3 years ago? It was called Meatball.
I was going to say, was it the Meatball one?
Yeah.
I remember that.
I think it was about 3 years ago. Haven't seen it since then.
So we have ketchup and fries. Are we ever going to have spaghetti and meatballs?
Well, you would need a grain. And it would have to grow on some kind of bovine.
Pretty good. That's pretty good. Okay, so what? I'm sorry, but the website real quick. Let's mention we're getting into springtime. People are wondering, what are you guys selling this year?
Oh, yeah, you know what? You should get your orders in. We are already starting to run out of a few varieties.
Really? It's only February, yeah. John.
I know, but this year we had limited quantities on some
okay.
items. So
go to GardenAmerica.com.
Right. And if you want to try something new, the new tomatoes, the cream of the crop tomatoes,
mm-hmm.
are really worth looking into. And there's one I would recommend you look at called,
the one that was in the...
What was the green tomato? That was the striped green zebra.
Yeah.
There's a new one called Apricot Zebra, and the flavor on it's supposed to be amazing, but I would take a look at that one.
So does it have kind of a more of an orangey striped flesh?
Yeah, and then it turns all one color when it's ripe.
What color? Orange or red?
Apricot.
Apricot. Good deal. Yeah.
But it has green stripes in it before it gets
What is
ripe.
Green stripes? I thought yeah. it had, what was that, you know, they have the pineapple or the tie-dye, you know, where it's kind of orangish. Orange is red, but these are green stripes?
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. And then
I got to find a picture of that right now.
Yeah. It's called Apricot Zebra.
Can you post that picture, Tiger? Are we going to do we dare do that?
Well, you can go to GardenAmerica.com and take a look at it yourself, Brian.
Absolutely. Now, so John brings up a good point. When in doubt, go to GardenAmerica.com. You can also sign up for the newsletter. You should be a subscriber, and that arrives every Friday. We have various articles, pictures in there talking about upcoming guests. And also on that newsletter is a direct link that John puts into our podcast. So that'll take you to the iHeartRadio podcast that we do. So you don't want to miss out on that. A little extra information as we delve into one topic.
You know, I have to
admit.
No, I have to talk about this because
okay.
we mentioned it earlier. But the biggest, Well, the thing I was most afraid of moving was, you know, I've lived in my current house for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so things that have been planted, it's taken 30 years to grow that garden.
It's a big part of your life.
And every single plant, and you've been to my house, every single plant I personally planted. You know, and there's trees now that are like 70 feet tall that I grew from seed.
It's emotional.
It is emotional.
Of course it is.
And the thing I was worried about was when we first put the house up for sale, I thought, what am I going to do? I can't possibly – the roses is one of the things I was concerned about.
Yeah.
And I thought, I can't possibly dig these all up. So I – well, I'll tell you what I did when we come back from the break. But it involved taking cuttings, and I'll let you know the situation they're in right now.
That is well worth sticking around for here. Also, this is a great time for questions and comments. If you're not on Facebook, you can call us at 855-424-9825 or email us, john@gardenamerica.com. Quickest response, posting your questions, your comments right there on Facebook. We're going to come right back.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? No worries. Catch all the episodes on demand at biztalkradio.com.
Welcome back to the Garden America Radio Show with Brian, John, and Tiger. The phone lines are open right now at 855-424-9825. That's 855-424-9825 or john@gardenamerica.com.
And welcome to hour number two. Of course, we do 2 hours every Saturday. We kick things off on the West Coast at 6 minutes after the East Coast, 11:06. Streaming through Biz Talk Radio around the world, across the country, Facebook Live, and, of course, 855-424-9825, john@gardenamerica.com. Already seeing a couple of questions on Facebook. I think Rick has a question.
But first.
Oh, yeah, first, yes, back to.
Need to finish my story.
Back to John before the questions.
So I was mentioning that I had a lot of roses in the ground that I didn't think I'd be able to dig up, so I did try to make cuttings of some of them, but I took about, I think maybe 120 of the roses, and I sent cuttings to Steve Singer in Wisconsin. He owns Wisconsin Roses.
Yes.
And asked him to bud new plants for me. So I was thinking all that time I'll be able to save the plants that way. But then since building my house got delayed, and I'm still there right now, I've been able to dig up the majority of those. And I figured, well, that'll just give me, if Steve sends me the roses, it'll give me roses for the upcoming auction this November. But then I got this email from him that says, hi, John, horrendous winter here thus far. Hoping the best when I uncover. So, like,
he's not promising the condition.
Yeah, he's got all these plants that I picture buried under snow right now.
Yeah.
And he says it looks like late March at the earliest, if Mother Nature cooperates, before he can even get to them.
And that's kind of funny. I was at a party last night here in San Diego, Tom Hamm's Lighthouse, right on the bay, San Diego Bay.
Right.
And just a beautiful shot of the skyline. So a buddy of mine who was at the party here from a radio station, his folks live in Nebraska. So he goes, well, I got to take a picture and send this to my folks. You know, this is beautiful here in February. And right back, he got a picture from his dad, nothing but snow, like piled
right.
high. And I said, wow, what a difference. We can jump in the water right now, and they're back, you know, dying under snow.
Yeah.
So, to be fair, it would be cold if you jumped in the water.
Oh, it would be cold, absolutely. But again, so again, here on the show, since we are, you know, nationally syndicated, we do keep in mind that when we talk about a lot of things you can do in the warmer climates in certain states, we do understand that many of you are like, I'm not even ready for this yet. We're under snow.
Right.
So we get it.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, one of the questions that we have right now is Rick, and he's wondering what's the best time of year to propagate from cuttings and do air layering. And, you know, that's the thing, too, is when people ask the questions and
where do you
just
live?
Mentioned, it's kind of where do you live?
Yeah.
Because, and we'll try to hit on every little note that we kind of can when people ask those questions. So, you know, we know where Rick lives, but at the same time, we'll address that, hey, if you're right now in New York, no, you could not do that now. And, you know, but being here, you can. And these are seasonal averages here or so that you can also do that. I mean, you know, I talked about just throwing out some seeds right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's something I could do, but it's not something that somebody in the Midwest can do right now. You know, even in some areas of the Northwest, you know, or east northeast, or northwest or right, northeast, right. They couldn't do. But
so the more information, when you have a question like that, the more information you can give us. I live here. If you know the zone or whatever, the more info that you have, the better we're able to answer those kind of questions.
Yeah, some general rules of thumb would be spring is probably the best time to start most cuttings because plants are naturally going to start growing. So the auxins, the growth hormones that are in the plants are active that time of year. There's usually enough light. So if there's any leaves still on the plant can photosynthesize before the roots form. So depending on what it is, it'll
right
be
on the cusp, right on the cusp, right? Like the very early part of spring is what you want to do. You don't want to take your risk and do it in the wintertime because you can ultimately rot out the cutting.
Right.
But if you do it right on the very first part of spring, like what you just mentioned, you're actually catching the plant when it's starting to grow, and that's what you want.
So. And I think, you know, this year with all the rain we've had here in San Diego in the past month or so, and John, you said probably close to 18 inches. In another month or so, it's going to be so beautiful here in San Diego, maybe a little more so because of all the rain we've had. And I think we should all try to do our best to capture some pictures, flower fields or whatever, post them on Facebook newsletter, because it's going to be, I think it's going to be a beautiful spring here.
Now, John, let me ask you this, because you came from the East or Mid-East area.
Not too long ago, 1977.
But you have the background. Now, you know, everybody's talking right now. We're going to have a long winter, okay? And that means we're going to have a short spring, because let's also understand that just because we have a long winter doesn't mean that you get to wait later in the season, do the same gardening that you had, because summer will hit you, and then those plants that needed that spring development
period, didn't get it.
They didn't get it, right? So for people that are growing vegetables or flowers, would you encourage in these times that they are going to have a long winter, start things inside, have it still begin to grow, so when you can move it outside, it's kind of already going?
You're talking about keeping the same time schedule?
Are you talking for a cold?
Yeah, for a cold area. Like,
it doesn't make any difference for them. Their springs are always the same length, no matter how long the winter is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's
so
only
you're
in,
saying
in warm
if,
weather.
If, you know, back east right now, they go all the way into, you know, April for their winter.
Yeah, they don't plant outdoors until Mother's Day.
So that was kind of a rule of thumb, Mother's Day?
Yeah, Mother's Day is usually a rule of thumb. And they always start their seeds earlier, and they start them indoors.
Okay. What about for us?
Well, for us, it makes a huge difference, because if we have a long winter, our summers usually come at the same time, no matter how long the winter's been.
Yeah.
So I think it applies more to us than it would to
And, you know, we're very warm all the way
climate.
Through October. I mean, October and November, we've had some hot months.
Yeah, and see, that's what, you know, I was thinking is that, you know, for us here in San Diego County, say that our spring doesn't really get started until mid-March or, you know, late March, you know, and usually it's accustomed to starting in March.
The Ides of March.
You know, well, our summer still starts, you know, Mother's Day. You know, that's our summer kind of start. So
usually our really hot weather usually is like 4th of July.
Yeah.
Because we have May gray and June gloom.
Yeah.
Right. You're still wearing a jacket in April and May when you go to a baseball game.
But you can't have hot days during that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so maybe starting, you know, the one product I love is that veggie pot. I mean, with the cover on it and all of that. I mean, I kind of have of the feeling of it's its own little greenhouse.
Don't you feel, because I had it for a couple of years, now you have it, that everything you plant, they just kind of...
It's on autopilot.
You leave it alone.
It's on autopilot. It's amazing.
Exactly. They just back away. Leave it alone.
I feel if I touch it, I'll mess it up.
Right. But you have to know, though, and I learned this quickly, when something is ready to be picked or pulled out at the right time. But it's that's amazing. It's its own little...
environment.
A microclimate, right?
And you know what? We always talk about winter weather taking away bugs, but for some reason, I've got these Arctotis in the front of my house, and we'll have to get back to this after the break, but they still have bugs on them. They got whitefly, they got aphids, but the veggie pot, I don't have anything on it. I've got broccoli and, you know, things in there, and they're perfectly fine.
The very, very smallest of an insect could get in there,
yeah, but
not enough to do any damage. Okay, approaching 30 minutes after the hour, this is time for your questions. Whatever's on your mind, we're getting into spring. No matter where you live in the 50 states, contiguous states, Alaska, Hawaii, talk to us at 855-424-9825, john@gardenamerica.com, or Facebook.
Watch some of your favorite shows on BizTV. Check to see if you get BizTV by going to BizTV.com. And now, back to BizTalk Radio.
Welcome back to the Garden America Radio Show with Brian, John, and Tiger. The phone lines are open right now at 855-424-9825. That's 855-424-9825. Or john@gardenamerica.com.
I want to say thank you so much for joining us and being part of Garden America, many of you for years and years. And we've got some new listeners, some new viewers, Tiger. So we're really reaching out, branching out, and we just appreciate you being there. Again, if you want to call us, 855-424-9825, john@gardenamerica.com, Facebook Live, and back to you, Tiger.
Yeah, so before the break, I was talking about how I still have bugs. And I don't know if you know, John, but
You've got bugs in your yard's got bugs.
Well, my yard, okay. Yeah.
Let's clarify
and,
that.
Yeah, weird way to start the show,
bugs.
Right? But I don't know what temperature they're supposed to kind of die at, but most soft-bodied insects and worms don't survive over the wintertime because they're tender. And
they're soft-bodied.
They're soft-bodied, yeah. And, you know, when the temperatures drop, they die off. And in really cold climates, they have zero pests, you know, coming into the spring because of that reason. Not until the summer do the bugs come out of their new eggs and so on. But as I mentioned, I've got these Arctotis in the front yard, and even though it's been cold and even though, you know, it's in the middle of winter for us, they've continued. I've got whitefly. I've got some aphids. I even saw a little worm on one of my snapdragons the other day, and it's shocking to me that they're still around.
Don't you know that's you got whitefly. That is so old school to still have whitefly.
Old school, like they ever went away?
Well, my point is,
like bugs follow trends.
Well, there's ways of getting rid of whitefly.
I know how to get rid of them, but I shouldn't have to during this time of year.
But how cold? It's probably not cold enough where you are.
Well, that's what I was asking, John. I don't know. I mean, like I say, you guys woke up this morning and you said, you know, it's been dropping into the 30s.
Absolutely.
When I got into my car this morning. Yeah, I was shocked when it was 42.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know.
A few degrees away from the late 30s.
Yeah.
Upper 30s, yeah. As they say.
Do you know what temperature they kind of die off at or no? Yeah.
Well, it depends on what insect.
Yeah.
But you can get aphids all winter.
All winter.
What about white?
So even when it drops into the 30s, you can still have aphids.
Yeah, I think it would have to freeze.
Okay.
To get rid of the aphids.
So how are you going to get rid of your whitefly? What are you going to do?
Just some neem oil. Yeah, yeah, neem oil, triple action. I sprayed them already, but now I'm going to have to stay on top of it to get rid of it. You know. But
I remember the first time I saw whitefly back in the 90s when I lived next to the catamaran, and they have, you know, they're just all tropical plants everywhere.
Oh, well.
And it was as if somebody went out for Halloween and strung up like fake spider webs everywhere.
That was the giant whitefly.
Yeah,
I had no idea what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was everywhere.
Yeah.
What did we used to recommend? What did we used to use for that?
They used to recommend it. I think George Hahn would say that if you put a lot of worm castings
that
in
was
the soil,
it. Worm castings.
Yeah.
That it would help.
And that helps with, you know, I mean, it was really well proven on the hibiscus.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't think it's for necessarily every plant, but it worked. It truly did. I did see really great results on hibiscus plants. And they are the ones that were plagued by the whitefly the most.
I'm just hoping to have a hibiscus by the time spring rolls around.
Yeah.
Of all the plants I've looked forward to, John was so kind. And John tells me that there's going to be different colors of hibiscus on the same plant.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it's been pretty rough the past month or so. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Patty mentions on Facebook, she lives in San Marcos, and she said that this last rain for the month was 9 inches, and that she's about 18 and a half inches for the season. So it's a lot of rain.
Rick wants to know if you're going to do all your own landscaping, John.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Now,
John and Joe.
My son is also building a home on the property.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably will do the landscaping around his house.
Will you have like a blueprint, obviously, or kind of a sketch of what you want to do? I mean, With me, I would probably be more likely not to and just go out there and go, oh, that would look good over there. That would look good over there.
That's how I did my last house.
Yeah, right?
And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah.
And what was hard about doing the landscaping that I did over 30 years was I usually only put in one plant of each. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to create a design with one plant of each.
Yeah.
Looks very
And wouldn't you want to put in, besides that, maybe two
Mish-mash
or three?
Mish-mash is what my wife would always call it.
But wouldn't you want to put in more than one just in case one dies, you have two or three left?
No, didn't have room for more than one.
It's all about room.
And, you know, it's funny. I'm thinking about now John saying that his son is going to be responsible for his own landscape. And if you know John's son, I kind of feel he does things against his dad just because he has fun with it. So I kind of feel like
there might be some truth to
that. He's gonna do something in the landscape that's just gonna conflict with John's thought of process when it comes to landscape.
Well, that's a good question. Now is his landscape going to be, so you're doing your thing?
Yeah, exactly. Are they gonna
meld it, mesh with each other? How's that gonna work?
Well, obviously he won't have anywhere near as much room as I do.
That's true.
So
what does he want to grow?
He's a traditional landscape designer, so it's all about aesthetics, where mine is all about horticulture.
Okay, yes. In other words, you're more concerned about the type, what you're planting.
Right.
He's more concerned about how everything fits together and the beauty of it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, he would line like a nice hedge or have a lawn area and all of that kind of stuff.
And if he had roses, they'd be iceberg roses.
And it'd be a row of them.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And I would never allow an iceberg rose on my property.
I'm gonna make sure, like, for his housewarming, I'm going to buy him, like, a whole bunch of knockout roses for you.
I think for a housewarming, we just get you a heater, right? Yeah. Housewarming, heater, you're cold, live in a cold area.
We still are up in the air as to whether or not we're going to put in coffee. The one coffee plant that we have right now is...
Now,
looking really bad.
Year. In all fairness, though, this is an unusual winter for us with temps this low.
Right, but to put in the coffee plants is $25,000.
Yeah, that's a heck of an investment to roll the dice.
Right.
So, so maybe this is good that you're seeing this now.
Well, what we discovered was I kept thinking the higher up on the property you go, the warmer it is, so the more likely it would be the coffee would survive. And what I found out is that coffee likes wind.
It doesn't like wind.
Well, I was going to say likes wind even less than it likes cold.
Yeah, oh, boy. And you're in a windy area?
Right. Oh. Towards the top of the property, but the bottom of the property is protected. So we're thinking that maybe towards the bottom we can put the coffee, but then you can't go down too far because then the cold air will drain there and kill it.
Do you have enough room for a small greenhouse?
Yeah.
Are you going to 3.5 acres?
Well, is that in your plans to have a greenhouse?
You know, Joe, oddly enough, is the one who's talking about putting in a greenhouse.
Why not?
So,
wouldn't you be able to grow things that you would not otherwise be able to because of the weather?
Or propagate things.
I was going to say, right, I think John's more inclination because that would require filling the greenhouse and then taking care of it. I think he's going to want to turn over things in it and start things, then move them out.
I think it'd be cool to have a greenhouse and go in there and just water and take care of things. Could you grow coffee in a greenhouse?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. If you can grow it outside, why couldn't you grow it in a greenhouse?
Well, I'm just wondering, is that something you're considering?
Would be silly.
Be dumb, huh? Yeah. Why even ask that question?
Like, well, I mean, commercially, that would make no sense.
No, but, yeah, and we're talking...
You could grow a coffee plant. Yeah, single coffee plant in a greenhouse. Yeah, to have it, to be
when
like, this is a coffee plant, here it is.
Right.
You know, that's cool.
So
I lived in Detroit, there was a greenhouse in Ruthven, Ontario, in Canada, called Colasanti's Greenhouse. And they grew citrus in the ground, but it was in a greenhouse. Mm-hmm. So So you could grow coffee in the same way that they could grow. You know, they really want...
Commercially, they grew citrus?
No, not commercially, just for themselves.
Oh, okay.
So that's my next question then. If you don't go the whole coffee route with selling and investing and all that, would you grow coffee for yourself?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm trying to get a yes out of him somehow.
Yeah, somehow.
Getting a lot of no's.
No.
I don't really.
Yeah, he would.
You're not into it.
John's focus is on roses and preserving. I mean, he would probably grow some coffee plant if it was the last coffee plant on Earth, and you know, this was the salvation of our society.
Probably.
You know?
Probably.
Okay, second to roses.
Probably.
Second to roses. What's your favorite plant, flower, whatever?
Oh, God. I don't
know. How about orchids?
No. Orchids require too much of a commitment.
And they die off, and they don't. It's the they look really good when you buy them.
Yeah, there's some things I like. For instance, cymbidium orchids, because they do really well outdoors without much care. But you know, there's books out there. There's a book called Orchid Fever, and you really can catch orchid fever.
Sure.
And then Susan Orleans wrote. What was the book she wrote? The Orchid Thief.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the book.
The Orchid Thief. And there's really something about orchids that just requires total dedication.
But they're so beautiful. Hey, you know what? We've only got one more segment left.
Wow.
So, questions, comments, Facebook Live, and also John at GardenAmerica.com. Anything yet, John, on your email? Quiet email day for John. Got to make him feel loved, folks. We're coming right back.
From Main Street to Wall Street, we have the business content you need. So sit back, take notes, and tell your friends about Biz Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Garden America Radio Show with Brian, John, and Tiger. The phone lines are open right now at 855-424-9825. That's 855-424-9825 or John at GardenAmerica.com.
And just like that, it is our final segment on this, at least a beautiful Saturday here in San Diego after several days of rain. It is crystal clear, just beautiful weather. So thank you so much for tuning in. The questions keep coming in, Facebook Live. Also, John at GardenAmerica.com, 855-424-9825.
So the question that we have, and I lost the name of the person, but I did read the question, is about what organic or natural slug or snail control. She lives in Redding.
Yeah, that was Michelle.
Michelle. Okay. And I'm trying to pull up the product the ingredients because I don't think it's necessarily natural or organic, but it's definitely safe to use for around cats and dogs and kids. And they do say it's safe to use around edibles. But the Natural Guard line has a slug and snail bait. And the most popular name of the product was Sluggo, which was put out by Monterey.
Gosh, Sluggo's been out for decades.
Yeah, and Natural Guard has the same product and the same active ingredients.
But safer than Sluggo?
No, it's not. It's the same.
Oh, okay.
But it's usually a better deal than Sluggo.
It's iron sulfate, right?
Is that I was going to say.
Either iron sulfate or iron phosphate. But
yeah, the active ingredients in it, though. I mean, that would be a product I do recommend because I know it works and it's good and it's easily to get.
And iron is good for plants.
Yeah. But as far as an organic, I mean, I don't know.
That is organic.
That is organic anyway, right? To a degree?
According to, it's more natural is what, to be technically correct, it used to be that organic had to contain carbon. And obviously, iron sulfate has no carbon in it. But the way we use the term organic now in gardening is it's natural. Mm-hmm. It's a natural product.
Right.
So, yes.
Yeah.
That would be the safest product to use and beneficial.
And they have a plus one. There's a Sluggo Plus, and then the Natural Guard has the Slug and Snail Bait Plus, which actually contains spinosad, which is really good for, you know, any kind of, mm-hmm. you know, worm problems or any of those other crawling insect problems as well. I'm trying to think of the bug off the top of my head.
Sow bugs.
Exactly.
Sow bugs, earwigs.
Yeah, those ones. So, you know, aside from slug and snails, it takes care of those problems when you see that spinosad ingredient in it as well. So that's what I would recommend.
Rick wanted to know if I was going to grow camellias at my new property. And oddly enough, in my mind, I have a camellia forest planted at the base of our property, you know, where I was telling you the ravine was.
Right.
There's a lot of trees, some oaks and sycamore. And we were thinking of thinning those out so that it would be kind of a natural area. And because it would be shady, a lot of shade in that area, we were thinking of planting camellias and azaleas down in there.
Rick.
And you know what might have inspired Rick to ask that question is because John in the newsletter talked about the tea plant being, the most, was it popular drink in the world, wasn't it?
Worldwide, right?
Worldwide,
yeah. Which, different teas.
I'm surprised.
And teas are, and the tea that we drink, if you think of regular tea, not right. herbal teas,
yeah.
is from Camellia sinensis. So
he's going to have a giant tea garden down there.
I could grow tea on my property.
There you go.
But I don't think it'd be as profitable as
definitely
the
not
coffee.
As lucrative.
Now,
definitely
I'm surprised that Joe is not building a log cabin on your property. That just sounds like something he would do. And how cool would it be to have, I mean, actually, with a log cabin like, you know, Abe Lincoln.
You know, he did build a shed on the property.
Okay.
And in this shed, he just, you know, it's going to be like a work shed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the corner, he just put a table that goes around the corner that is built out of solid oak from trees that he cut down.
Wow.
And the edge of, rather than being a finished edge, it's the natural edge of the wood itself. And then he lacquered it, and it really looks awesome. It's like something you would eat off of.
He'll never move it.
No.
It's got a, no.
It's not going anywhere.
No, it was really heavy,
yeah,
I'll tell
sure.
you.
Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's pretty handy when it comes to doing stuff like
That's
that.
That's great. That's great.
Jan wants to know what zone I live will be moving to. Same zone as I'm in now, which in Sunset Zone would be.
It's the fun zone you live in, right?
Between 23 and 24.
The Twilight Zone.
24 is more coastal, so
yeah.
We're actually kind of 23.
You're more inland, really, than coastal.
Well,
as the crow flies to the beach versus the 13 freeway.
13 miles,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fairly close. Now, do you get any residual wind from the beach? Does it blow that far, 13 miles in, that you know of?
Yeah, there's a breeze that comes up
okay.
every afternoon and kills your coffee.
Oh, that's so funny.
I have a feeling this coffee thing is not going to turn out the way you'd
hope, John.
It's not
going to brew?
You know, there was, I think it's coming up. You'd have to look, but Bird Rock Coffee, right?
Fringe is going to be there. I was going to say we need to get them to
right
have some coffee in here for us.
Yeah.
Well, they are doing, I think.
That's how you work a show.
I heard they were charging $50 a ticket. And if they haven't already had it, they were going to be serving some California coffee. And Fringe just sold, what was the coffee variety? Geisha.
Geisha.
They just sold some geisha to Asia, of course, at $200 a pound.
Goodness gracious.
So the, and that's
an expensive
the,
coffee.
That's the variety that I was thinking of
my
playing.
My $5.99 bag at Vaughn's.
Right, exactly, yeah.
You know, when, what was his name? Jay. When Jay was here from Fringe Coffee,
right.
We were talking about how the coffee bean, the fruit, was edible. And the bean is inside the fruit, but it's covered with a red, fleshy mm-hmm. Fruit that covers the bean. And it's sweet, but gives you a buzz just like coffee.
Does
would.
It?
Oh, yeah.
So like eating sweet little candy and get a little buzz off it.
Yeah.
I was surprised to hear him say, like, the old school coffees like Folger, Hills Brothers, Maxwell House, more caffeine in those coffees than the gourmet coffee.
Right. Yeah, that was interesting, right?
You know, like, really?
Yeah.
Because we love, my wife and I love the dark, dark coffee.
Really?
You know, Norwegian river mud is uh-huh. what we call it. If that spoon doesn't stick straight up when you put it in there, it's too weak.
Really?
We just like, oh, mud. Yeah.
And does darker mean, I mean, I know the flavor's stronger.
I thought it meant more caffeine, but it doesn't.
Okay.
But, hey, the music says it's
time
to go. It's been a great show.
Thank you so much for tuning in.
Your support and everything that's going on here at Garden America. We do appreciate it. Thanks to our guest, Raquel, who was with us first hour. And the rest of you tuning in on Facebook, Biz Talk Radio. We'll do it again next weekend. Thank you so much. Don't forget our podcast, newsletter, direct link. Until then, take care and get growing, America. Adios. Have a good